So everyone had a good week? Yeah? Anything interesting happened this week that you want to share about? No? Just a pretty normal, uneventful week. Nancy, you look like you might have something. No? Okay. I was hoping there, you know? You usually got something interesting going on, so glad you got a break this week then. No, okay. Just your regular craziness of life, right? Crazier, yeah. Let's pray together quickly before we get into the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come before you as your church, your children, your people, your body. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Word, your truth. We thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that you fill us with your Spirit this morning, that you would open up your Word through your Spirit this morning. Lord, we want to humble ourselves to receive from you. Mold our hearts. Change us from within. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a good God, a loving God, our Creator, Sustainer of life. And Lord, we thank you so much that we can gather freely this morning to hear your Word. Let us have ears to hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Yes.
I had this last week for a couple of days, I had my sister-in-law in my heart, and it was just like feeling, I've got to call her, and I was praying for her, and so finally I called her, and we had this really nice long conversation, and my daughter had told me the day before I called her that she was like, she just seemed so low every time I asked her how she was doing, she just skirted the subject, so okay, I've got to call her. So I called her, and I just, how are you? Like, I know that this is, we've just sold the family house. It's a big thing, and it's a, you know, going from a big house down to an apartment, and just, I know that there's a lot of turmoil in the house, too. The two sisters are like cats. Anyway, I just said, how are you doing? And she said, well, it's kind of daunting. And I said, yeah, but you know what? You have family. We're here. Like, just call. Like, we'll come. Some of us are crazy busy, but we always, you know, we can drop things. And we just talked through. I asked her, so tell me about your apartment. And I got her all excited about her apartment. And she said, yeah, I'm not going to be able to take as much stuff. And I said, yeah, but won't it feels good to get rid of stuff. It feels good to just declutter, and I know moving's daunting, but if you're having trouble downsizing, I'll come over and help you hack. And you know, by the end of the conversation, she was like, she had started out kind of like, oh, I'm all right, to really excited and looking forward to the prospect of, and I was talking about, oh, you'll probably have all kinds of friends there. Do you even know who's moving there? Like, there's lots of, Finn's going to be there. And I said, oh, I know Yarno's parents are going to be there. And his mom's lovely. So anyway, I was thinking, just to encourage you all, you know, when you have somebody on your heart, like, don't put it off, because they probably need that call. They need that just personal touch of just reaching out to them. And it can make all the difference. Because the next day when I talked to her on the phone, right off the bat, she was happy. So, you know.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Nancy. I knew you had something there. Yeah, it's so important to be involved in each other's lives. You know, family life, it's such a blessing to have family, but you know, we're also a family here. Body of Christ, His family, God's family, right? So, it's, don't forget to reach out to one another. Show love. So, I think it was a few weeks ago I preached on the Holy Spirit, and the time before that, and then last week preached on love because it's Valentine's Day week, but I want to get back to the Holy Spirit and keep going on this, subject or journey of just, you know, pressing more into the Holy Spirit and what that means in our lives as believers, as Christians. And there's so much to talk about it, about Him, about the Holy Spirit. And I think we have lots to learn, not necessarily knowledge-wise, but walking with the Spirit in our life. I think that's something that we've maybe lost in North America, is, you know, being so structured and kind of maybe performance-orientated and program-orientated, but just the living power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what that looks like and what that changes us, like, to be God's people. And this morning, I want to specifically focus on fruit of the Spirit. Who here likes fruit? All right. Who here likes vegetables? All right. Some vegetables are fruit and some vegetables are fruit. Hey, I did pretty good last time. I had that soup that you had that had all kinds of stuff in it, so it's progress, right? But it's true. I prefer fruit over vegetables, so yeah, if you know me, that's true. But, you know, what's the difference? Fruits or vegetables, they're both grow on plants, right? Trying to make myself feel better here. But what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? Think about that. What does that mean? Can you have good fruit in your life without the Holy Spirit? Probably, right? So what's the difference about fruit from the Holy Spirit from just, I guess, regular fruit? It's a good question to ponder and think about as well, what that means and looks like in your life. But we know the fruit of the Holy Spirit is something that marks a believer's life. If you've experienced salvation and the true grace of God, it transforms you. It changes you from the inside out. And that's where you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you've recently come to Christ or think you have, or maybe a long time ago and you haven't seen inner change in your life, start pursuing that. Start pursuing that and asking God to change you from the inside. Because when the Holy Spirit empowers us and fills us, you begin to change. You can't help it. It just starts to happen. Your desires change. The way you think changes. And it becomes more aligned with God's word, the truth. See, the Holy Spirit's more than just a supernatural power or being or God that manifests Himself. It's something that is a continual part of our daily life as Christians. And we need to understand that. He empowers us for the journey of kind of what rather than pleasing our flesh, to pleasing God with our lives, if that makes sense. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and we've also been given the church to help us develop into God's people more and more. It's a journey. It's not something that happens instant overnight. So be on that journey. Be on that journey together as a church. This morning, I want to read from the book of Galatians. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that, or if you have them on your smartphone, whatever, it's all good, as long as it's God's word, right? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. We'll start by reading this together, and I have it on the screen there as well, in case you don't have your Bible with you this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, the book of Galatians, it's a fascinating book authored by Apostle Paul, if you don't know. And he traveled through the region of Galatia, which is, I think, present-day Turkey, a few times throughout his missionary journeys. And during these journeys, that's when the Church of Galatia was established. And many of the early Christians in Galatia, they were actually Jews. Jews who became Christians. And they had experienced the freedom that comes with the relationship of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And unfortunately, their freedom was being challenged by another group of Jews called what we call now Judaizers. You've heard that term before? So basically what they were teaching was that before anyone could experience the full kind of blessing of God and of Christ and the gospel, one had to become a Jew before being a Christian. So this includes like keeping the law to the physical act of circumcision, and you know, that was kind of their doorway to enter into Christianity. And this was causing a horrible split within the church between the Jews and the Gentiles, right? So the church was becoming kind of this ethnocentric church rather than a Christocentric. So ethnocentric meaning like based on race and ethnicity, to away from being a Christ-centered church where everybody was one, united in Jesus Christ. So it was this kind of split. Camps were being formed, in other words. So Paul writes to this divided church to remind them that they have freedom in Jesus Christ, that by grace they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life of freedom. And Paul is astonished how quickly they deserted the grace of Christ. And in the place of Christ, they had accepted this false gospel, you could say, and confusion was beginning to rule the day. So people were kind of not sure what they should believe and what they should follow, what teaching to keep with all these kind of different opinions. And Paul was angry about it. And he was so angry, he writes these words in chapter 1, verse 9. I don't have them. I'll just read them to you. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. So very strong words from Paul, wouldn't you say? So all of this turmoil was bringing the church into crisis, and Paul knew that the only answer was to return to the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul spends, just kind of a rough breakdown, Paul spends the first two chapters talking about how the gospel is real, authentic, from God. It truly brings salvation and freedom from sin. Very important. And it is available to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus in faith. Not just the Jew, but every single person. He then spends chapters 3 and 4 talking about the how the gospel is superior over the law of Moses. Freedom of Christ no longer requires the religious acts and keeping the law that ruled and binds and kills. And the last chapters are spent talking about the simple thought, we are free to do what is right. Our freedom in Christ is not a license to sin, but a license to live right. I'll say that again. Our freedom in Christ is not a license to sin, but license to live right. There's a big difference. So over and over in this book, Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. The Holy Spirit instructs, guides, leads, empowers, gives us strength. The Holy Spirit ends our bondage to sinful desires. He creates in us love, joy, peace, and many other wonderful things and changes. On the other side of the work of the Holy Spirit is what? The work of the flesh, right? In Galatia, the fleshly works were being kind of done in disguise of religious clothing, if that makes sense. So some were keeping score by kind of checking the boxes, doing the right things. So in our terms, we could think of this of living kind of a legalistic style of faith, very religious. If you dress like this, if you keep these rules, these commandments, you're a Christian, no matter kind of what you're doing or what's going on inside your heart and what you believe. If you look the part, act the part, you're saved, you're a Christian. Make sense? But others, however, were using their freedom as kind of a license to do anything that they would like. A license to sin. What difference does it make if I sin and do that sin and I quickly repent and ask for forgiveness, right? You see what I'm trying to say? But the sad result of the obedience to the law, checking off the boxes, or obedience to the flesh was the same. A spirit of criticism, anger, judgment, jealousy, competitiveness, and more. And you know, this happens when we're not motivated by love. When we're motivated by love for God, Jesus says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments, right? And what are his commandments? They're all summed up in two simple ones. Love your God, love your neighbor as yourself. If we lose that, we go quickly astray. So this is where we are in Galatians 5. Paul confronts those who have backslid into horrible, kind of sinful lies because they've moved away from the gospel and the work of the Christ on the cross. So before it gets to the often quoted verses that we read about the fruit of the Spirit, he spends time talking about the freedom the Galatians have in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We are, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, called to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You guys have heard that, right? That's true. We are permitted or allowed to live in freedom because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His work on the cross. He paid the price for every single person's sin upon the cross. He suffered in your place, in my place, paying the penalty, being judged for our sins, so that we can be forgiven. And he rose from the dead, proving that he has conquered the grave, that he has conquered sin and death, and that when we put our faith in the one who has conquered death, we have eternal life. Unfortunately, some Galatians, some of us, use our freedom to intentionally commit sin, and that's a distorted view of God's grace and of Jesus Christ. While others were using the observance of the law, rules, chain, regulations as a marker for holiness. And it's funny, because I remember when I was in Bible school in Finland, and you know, there came a point where myself included and others, you start comparing yourself to other people and, you know, start kind of measuring as a standard of holiness with other people. You know, like, who's going to how many meetings, who's leading the meetings, who's kind of giving the best teaching at Bible study or whatever it may be. You know, who's speaking more out loud in group prayer. It's just stuff like this. And you start to kind of use that as a measuring stick and this competitiveness. And it's bizarre. But it starts to happen. And that's when we start moving away from love and start becoming more legalistic, right? But our holiness has nothing to do with that. Of what we do, it's to do with Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. So they have this distorted view of grace. And again, I'll say the same result of either side. Spirit of criticism, anger, judgment, jealousy, competitiveness, and more. So Paul calls them out on the misuse of this freedom. Galatians 5:16, he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, I don't want us to miss something. The reason so many Galatians were attracted to going back to the law, rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff, is because they were having a horrible time to live above the desires or their desire to sin. So it's much more easier to set rules for yourself. I won't do this and this and this and this, therefore I won't sin and do the wrong thing, right? It's kind of like how our laws work. The police enforce the laws, right? So we try and enforce these laws in our own lives. So they thought that obedience to these laws would bring them the desires could bring them out kind of the desires of their sinful nature and get this under control. But here's a problem with their thinking and our thinking too, because we do this, not just them. It's trying to answer a spiritual problem with an unspiritual tool. And it just cuts the power of the Holy Spirit in your life out. I just preached a sermon I preached here a couple weeks ago about why we need the Holy Spirit, and there was an example there that I shared there that I used here that I'm going to bring back. I was just explaining, never mind. D.L. Moody, you guys know Moody, right? And he was teaching a class, and he had brought out a glass, and he said, "How can I get all the air out of this glass?" And the students started to give suggestions, and one of the prime suggestions was, "Well, use a vacuum and suck all the air out, and you know, then there'll be no air." And he says, "Well, that'll shatter the glass." And after much debating, he placed the glass on the table and brought out a pitcher of water and filled the cup with water. And then he taught that rather than trying to have victory in our Christian life, rather than trying to suck the sin out of life, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Where is your attention? On God or on sin? That's where it comes down to, right? So don't dismiss the only source of power to live in freedom, the Holy Spirit. And this is why Paul says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now notice the term walk. What comes to mind when you think of walking? Moving, yes. It's an active word, right? It points out the idea of movement and progress. Not standing still, not being stationary, but movement. It also carries this notion of how we go through life, the walk of life. We walk through life, right? Paul uses the phrase "live in the Spirit" and "be led of the Spirit." And as believers, we have freedom in Christ. It means we walk in the Spirit as we are being led by the Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us life. Paul teaches the Corinthians that the letter kills, referring to the law of Moses, but the Spirit gives life. You see, the law makes us conscious of our sin, that we've broken God's commandment. And there's no life in that. That shows us death. But we see life in the Spirit of God. Because to have the Spirit of God, we have to come to Jesus Christ. Make sense? Just a very brief description of what that means. And these are kind of all active and progressing terms: walking, living, being led, walking with. And it requires time and obedience. In the life of every believer, there's this struggle between the spirit and flesh. Or am I the only one? No, glad to hear that. We all battle it. None of us is different. We're all in the same boat in that. And the old sinful nature tries to lead us another way. It's a constant battle, but it is winnable. It's a winnable fight. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, chapter 19, 21, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these." Now that's a long list. And I'm ashamed to say, but I can tick many of those checkboxes off what I'm guilty. And I'm sure you can too. Notice the last sentence, "and other sins like these." So it's not an exhaustive list of sins. There are lots and lots of rules to break. That goes without saying. Even lying, simple lie. You're breaking the law of God. So you can't look at this list and say, "Okay, I haven't committed sorcery. I'm not a sorcerer. So, or I'm not that hostile, so I'm good." No. Paul is showing us some of the evil things that rise out of our hearts as people, as fallen people, when we're not led or living by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul tells us the end result of walking or being led or living in the flesh is, in 21, kind of the latter half of that verse, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life with these fleshly desires will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are things, whether generally or particularly touching our lives, we have to fight against because of our sinful nature. We have to put these things to death, so to say, in our life. Not ignore them, but kill them. Difficult thing to do. Difficult thing to do by our own strength. And here's the good news. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and He will empower us, guide us, lead us, and instruct us in how to live a life that is pleasing to God. Fill your glass up with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will kind of supernaturally and actively help us. I can tell you on my life journey, and still in progress. I'm a work in progress. We all are. But God has actually changed the desires of my heart away from my sinful nature and led me to live a more holy or clean life. And that's the work He does. That's not of me. That's spending more time with Him, spending more time in prayer, in His Word, walking life with Him. It works. It's real. It's awesome stuff. And it takes so much pressure off of us to do it by our own strength, because we have God on our side. Galatians 5:22. We'll read this again. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, there's another temptation, so to say, here. You can say, okay, I've been gentle, faithful, etc. You know, most of these fruits I have in my life, I see them in life, so I must be saved. But that's not the case. It's not the fruit that saves you, or the vegetables, if you guys prefer. Salvation only comes from Jesus Christ and putting your faith in Him. But a true person, disciple of Christ, these fruits should be a mark in your life. They should be seen. But any person, through their own effort and discipline, can develop these traits over time as well. Right? The difference between the well-disciplined person and the production of the fruit of the Spirit in someone's life is faith in Christ. I've met lots of nice people who aren't Christians, who are loving and kind and compassionate. But the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit that resides in all believers, and it goes to supernatural lengths. When really tough circumstances in life come by, or someone really hurts you, or you're suffering, or whatever, I believe, and through what I've seen in Christians' lives, believers' lives, that is where you truly see the fruit of the Spirit present, when it's put under pressure, to the extent of loving your enemy. That's supernatural Holy Spirit fruit. Now, it's not a completely passive work that happens in your life that the Holy Spirit does. It requires our obedience and being conscious of the Holy Spirit in your life and making a decision to follow His leading and empowerment in your life, if that makes sense. Charles Stanley explains it like this. The fruit of the Spirit does not pop out of believers through effort. Christians bear fruit through surrender. We take root in the Lord by meditating on His Word, praying, and serving. We reserve nothing for ourselves to control, but fully rely upon Him. That's not passive living, it's an abiding life. If all we do is some sort of self-help, humanistic exercise to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, we will eventually become slaves to our own effort. And it's not that different than legalism if you're trying to force these behaviors in your life. The fruit of the Spirit will become like a law for us in a sort if we do try and do that apart from the Holy Spirit, which leads us to judge, criticize, compete, be jealous of one another, even angry. Again, the difference is the work of the Holy Spirit who's producing in us is the life of Christ, living your life with Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your model, how to live life. Follow Jesus, be a disciple. Be a disciple of His. And don't let that slip by. The Holy Spirit is producing in you the life of Christ. Think how profound that is. God's Spirit is producing in you the life of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. Have you ever read about the teachings of Jesus and His life? It's incredible. It is incredible. And we need more of that in our world. And you can be more of that in this world when you allow Christ to live in you and through you. He is making you more like Himself. It's a wonderful thing. And because you are free in Christ, you become like Christ. So here's how I want us to respond to today's message. We should pray together a prayer of surrender. Because we have a free will, we can resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can do that, and we do that. But why would you want to? Did you read that ugly list with me? The things of the fleshly desires? They're ugly things. So I'm just asking you just to surrender this morning along with me to the Holy Spirit. Just say, Lord, I surrender all of me to You and Your will in my life. Produce in me the character of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Why don't we all stand up together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to do something. Everybody, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If there's somebody here who hasn't truly given their life to Jesus Christ, this is your morning to do that. I feel God is calling people to Him this morning. So with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as a sign before God, I just ask you to raise your hand if you want to become His disciple and follow Jesus. God sees your hand. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are here with us. Lord, You see every one of us, and we're all sinful people. We have all broken Your law. And Lord, we come before You this morning as sinners in need of forgiveness. Heavenly Father, forgive me my sin. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Wash my heart clean. Your word says that everybody who comes to Christ is a new creation. A beautiful creation. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You paid the price of my sin upon the cross. Thank You, Lord, that You rose from the grave and that You are alive today, that You are sitting on the throne beside the Father. Lord, we pray, give us your Spirit this morning. Empower us, fill us. We need more of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, in our church. Come, Lord, come. Lord, we desire to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, to be filled full by you. Lord, help us to walk by the Spirit daily. Help us to pray every morning, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. And help us to have ears to listen to your Holy Spirit's guidance. Change our hearts, transform us to be more like you, Jesus Christ, to have your desires, to see with your eyes, to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, empower us to serve you and serve one another. Use us, Lord. Use us to glorify your name and build your church that is eternal, to build your kingdom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just remain in a prayerful state here as we sing a song together here.